Oh, that's me. No, that's all. No, that's totally me. No, here's the thing, Sarah. In my own defense, I was ready. I just thought it was already loaded. That's what I'm talking about. We'll take this all out in post. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. AM.
Turn off your microphone.
It's on the radio.
Mama, we all go to hell. Mama, we all go to hell. I'm writing this letter and wishing you well. Mama, we all go to hell. Whoa, well now, mama, we're all gonna die. We're all full of lies. Mama, we're meant for the flies. And right now they're building a coffin your size. Mama, we're all full of lies.
Rick Emerson Radio Show. Yeah, I don't want to miss the Liza Minnelli part. The new My Chemical Romance from the Black Parade. It's called Mama. It's called I Owe Roger Waters Some Money for this song. Right here. Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2. March 70. All right, and I'm a sucker for accordion, too. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rickatrickemerson.com. So there you go. That it's My Chemical Romance featuring Liza Minnelli, which you don't really hear a lot these days. The problem is, after Arrested Development, though, every time I hear Liza Minnelli sing, I just picture her bumping into walls and having sex with Joe.
I know,
it's
like, oh, Buster.
Don't, are you ashamed of me? All right. In just a second here, we'll go through. We've got Tim has the New York Times in front of him, which has got this great page-by-page breakout of all of the films that are coming up.
In color.
Now in glorious Panavision. So we'll go through that in just a second, and then later on we got the Jim Roop. We'll talk to the guy Scott Daly will be here later. So I gotta play the Whoopi Goldberg stuff, and we got the comedy. We have the Corman and Conway tickets. We'll give away. We got second row tickets to give away here in a second. Scotty, what order should I take these? Should I take line two first here? The can and the guy. Okay. Because it seems our friend Daryl has returned. Daryl, he of the click dial tone. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Oh, it's one of those weeks. What's up with you, brother?
It's been one of those lives since you've been on the radio, isn't
Dude,
it?
Dude, I'm just, you know what it is? I'm just doing what I do and going home and playing Xbox. So
That's always good. Hey, I was just going to weigh in on this whole religious nut case issue. You know, it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to a bar and you get some guy that has one or two too many, and he starts mouthing off about everybody and everything, and then he just really scares you when he goes out into the car. I mean, in some ways, some of these Christians, and being a Christian myself, kind of remind me of some of those guys who just get a little too full of themselves and then start mouthing off and making everybody embarrassed and feeling kind of weird at the party.
Well, and here's the other thing. And again, I don't mean to be singling Daryl out, but he is the guy who called up and then hung up and ran away like a child. I'm just saying that anybody who calls, I mean, I don't understand people who tune into this program and then they call up and they're upset that we don't have some reasoned, balanced discourse. When really, here's the thing, is like the highlights of the show are a penis watch and us talking about people cooking other people inside of saucepans on their stove. I mean,
and
really,
the worst story ever. Can't forget that.
And the worst story ever, and we're playing Liza Minnelli songs and giving away Tim Conway tickets when there isn't a guy on the phone pretending to be Sam Kinison calling from hell. And then for somebody to be like, I am upset that this program does not deal with the issues in a serious, balanced fashion. It's like an NPR's down the dial. So, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. Well, right. You know, it's like the people that didn't get the whole horns over Hawthorne issue. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. Well, and then people are trying to say, Parler's gone to the devil.
Hey, Ken, hold on. It's your lucky day. Stay right there, Ken. Don't go anywhere. Just hang on a second. All right, don't. Daryl joins us again on the program. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
How's your life going?
My life is actually really good.
Yeah, we had a problem with your phone earlier.
No, that was me. I'm sorry. I just talked over.
Aware that was you. I'm sorry?
I just don't like being talked over and have the subject change and try to make you look like a bad guy when all I'm trying to say is, you know, I really believe in Christmas, and then people want to change it because they don't like hearing the sound of Christ.
We were not changing the. First of all, I wasn't talking over you. And secondly, I wasn't changing the subject. You were saying that this is a country based on Christ, and I was pointing out that there is empirical and anecdotal evidence indicating that's not the case.
Yeah. The fact is, like, we really were a Christian-based country.
Really?
Yes, they try to keep it and just leave it open to all religions, of course. I mean, that's a great thing to have everybody involved.
As long, yes.
You know, but, by the way, I never said anything about wanting to own slaves or anything like that.
No, I'm just pointing out that the people you claim were Christians owned slaves.
It was a different time, and at the time, they thought it was an okay thing to do. I do not agree whatsoever that it was an okay thing to do.
Okay, here's how you know that they were either just really dumb or hypocrites and not Christians, or quite possibly both. Here's how you know that they knew it wasn't the right thing to do. Because in the Bible, which they, of course, here's the thing, is because the people who came here and founded this country existed after the Bible was created, a Bible in which the Lord himself decreed that slavery, for example, of the Jews in Egypt, was wrong. It's in the freaking book. The Lord God himself, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, he himself in the Bible said that slavery was wrong and punished by drowning in the Red Sea those who engaged in slavery. For you to say, in any fairness, that the people who founded this country did not know that slavery was against the word of God is disingenuous, and you know it.
Okay, but I'm not even the one who brought up slavery. You are.
I'm saying that they were. I'm saying.
You know, Christmas.
I am saying this. I'm saying when you call up and you want to make. And here's the thing. It is about Christmas because. And I hate. I apologize for everybody who wonders where the snickering, the laughing, wacky part of the show went. We'll get back to that. But when you call up and insist that Christmas has to have preeminence among holidays, and you base that on your assertion that we are a nation founded on Christianity, it would be nice if you had the facts on your side, which you do not. So the Bible says that you don't have the facts on your side. Let me read you a little phrase here. Let's see. Let's play a little quiz. Who said this? As the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, dot, dot, dot. Who said that? Who said that the government of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion?
My guess would honestly be like Benjamin Franklin.
No, it would, well, yeah, close enough. It's John Adams, and he said that in 1797. That's in a, by the way, that is in a government document. That's part of a government, that is part of our treaty with Tripoli, where we said that. That is a government document where the government themselves noted in writing that we were not a Christian nation.
Okay.
So it would be nice. So I'm not trying to pick on you.
Christ out of Christmas.
We're getting
away from it and going into a whole other discussion, which I'd love to have you also.
We're not getting away from it. We are getting towards the fact, which is that we are not a nation based on Christianity above other religions. And when someone says season's greetings or happy holidays, what they mean is, even if you are not a person who recognizes Christ as a Messiah, if you are, for example, a Jew, that we are extending season's greetings to you as well, that we are not holding Christians up above other faiths as the preeminent religion. And I don't understand why that's a problem.
I don't have a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
But what I do have a problem with is when groups come in and tell organizations, cities, states, city halls that they have a Christmas tree and name it as such, and it needs to be a season tree or a holiday tree. Because they have a problem with it. You know, there's this wonderful spot in this country that everything is this democracy, it's a republic, where the majority do rule.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, that's not the case. It is not, sir.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Here's what doesn't help your case, is when you just respond to all of my attempts to reason by just saying, yes, it is. It is not because, for example, the vast majority of this country, again, to use your favorite argument, was in favor of slavery. So, you know, the majority does not always rule in this. It doesn't rule in, you know, in social issues. It doesn't rule in presidential elections. And by the way, you only have to look to 2000 for absolute concrete proof that the majority does not always rule. The man who I suspect you voted for, George W. Bush, by everybody's estimation, including his own, received a minority of the vote, and yet is still the president.
He's an idiot, but
well, be that as it may, all I'm saying is the fact is that the majority is not always right, and we have simply said that you can't use tax dollars to put one faith above another. And incidentally, if you're opposed to people going and getting into others' business, then you ought to be opposed to Christians who are getting all up in Walmart's face about you know, the Christians who decided never again to patronize a Walmart until Walmart put the Christ back in Christmas. Why can't you just shop somewhere else and let that be the end of it?
Okay, but the initial reason that Walmart did that is because they had so much pressure from other people saying, we're not going to come to your store, you need to change this, and have a huge fit over it.
Here's the thing. You ought to just take a deep breath and get over it and let people do what they want to do.
I don't have a problem with that,
okay.
But I do have a problem with a bunch of progressive people saying, hey, I don't want your faith being put in front of everything. If people choose to do that, why should you sue them over it? And why should I have to...
Because the United States government should not be in the business of putting one faith above others.
Walmart.
That's it.
Government.
No, Walmart isn't the United States government. And you know what? And no one sued them to make them stop doing that.
Anyway.
Yes.
Is it almost time for a pledge break?
Seriously. So God bless you, Daryl, and thanks for calling.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. This will help.
Smash.
Jesus. Seriously.
He seems like a nice guy. He just doesn't seem to be...
Just not terribly bright.
He just doesn't know as much,
all right.
You know,
Ken,
to be making those statements.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. I'm sorry that you didn't get a chance to weigh in there. But
everybody loves each other. We're all good.
I'm just saying. It would be nice if when people called up, if they had, what are they called, facts on their side. So, barring facts, I would accept logic. You know, but what are you going to do? All right, thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Rick.
I'm going to close out the religious nutcase watch there, Sarah. All right, thank you, Daryl.
Tears must be
God. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thus endeth the hideous awkwardness on this program. Let's get back to the jokes about cannibals and so forth. All right. Here's what's coming up. We got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Rubin's going to join us in a while. We got creepiest song ever. Scott Daly's going to be later on. I got to play this Wake Up with Whoopi stuff. Do we want to go through the movie stuff now?
Yes.
All right. So here's the thing. So Tim, because I only read this is what I miss out on, by the way, because I only read the New York Times, a godless newspaper. Online, and Tim gets the Times at his house, and so you got, and is this like a once a year thing they do this for the holidays?
Holiday movies.
So Tim,
not Christmas movies, mind you, holiday movies.
Bam.
Godless people at the New York Times.
Well, no, I mean, you know, never mind. I'm not gonna backtrack.
Okay, you should look at this picture, Rick. This cannot be anybody but Meatloaf.
All right. So we are.
We're looking at movies.
All right, so we're looking at this, and I know that before anybody accuses me, by the way, of doing another one of those, spending an hour talking about a picture you can't see because you're on the radio, this is really not about the ads themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just a list of all the stuff that is coming out this holiday season. All right, so what is this?
So we have Copying Beethoven. Now, there haven't been any Beethoven movies out in a long time, and I don't even see a picture of a dog here, but apparently Ed Harris is.
This is Ed Harris and Diane Kruger, Joshua Jackson's girlfriend. Now, you're right that that's not Ed Harris, though, is it?
That is Meatloaf.
It doesn't mention Meatloaf's name.
I know it doesn't, but...
But that can't be. Ed doesn't look anything at all like Ed Harris. He does look like Meatloaf, though, you're right. And he's got, like, the couture on, and then he's got the weird feathery hair and so forth. So what is Copying Beethoven? It's probably not... It doesn't seem like it's about Beethoven, probably.
It doesn't, no. Or maybe the dog, but we're not sure.
Let me just say this, by the way. Speaking of copying...
It's the fourth installment.
Seriously. Can I just tell you this, though, speaking of Beethoven and classical music and so forth, and I'm telling everybody this here at the Louis Dreyfus Corporation that owns this building, I'm going to steal that Amadeus poster that's downstairs.
No!
Yes.
I already talked to somebody today. I want that poster.
Oh, no. I'm stealing it.
No, I talked to
you
one of the...
fight me for it.
I talked to one of the construction guys today and asked him because I love that poster.
You know what? The only reason is because we're here in the coin tower and you know, there used to be a...
That is so funny. I just talked to him this morning.
There used to be a cinema, a bijou up here. And they tore it out a long time ago. But here's the funny thing about it is there's a bunch of posters of classic films like there's 70 Rich.
I'll let you have Jesus Amadeus, Christ Superstar.
With Sebastian Bach.
Yes.
There's a bunch... There's a bunch of movie posters sunk into the walls, and here's the thing. The movie theater has been gone for like 5 years. The only reason those posters are still on the wall here is because they're sunk in so deep that it would be more expensive to remove them than it's worth. And so the theater has been gone again for years now, but there are still movie posters attached to the wall because they were put on permanently, never meant to be removed. And as you come down the escalator, if you've ever come here, and you would like to come to the whatever, you go down the escalator, there is this Amadeus poster, and it's just the most beautiful poster. It's got Tom Hulce there, and it's like a watercolor or whatever. Man, I don't
want this to get ugly, because I just talked to a construction worker this morning.
Full shampoo for it.
You have too much crap.
That is true, Sarah Tillman.
I'll help you convince Lara that you need a new stand-up video arcade thing.
Okay, if you can do that, then I will not fight you for the Amadeus poster, which I love. So I got to go see that movie again. All right. What else do we have here?
Stranger Than Fiction, which stars Will Ferrell. It says here, Harold Crick didn't know what life was all about, and then it hit him.
Now, here's the thing about...
We've heard this plot.
Stranger Than Fiction looks like a really good movie, and it's got a woman who I find strangely attractive, meaning she's not a conventional beauty, which is Emma Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Thompson, and apparently it's Will Ferrell, who I disliked for the longest time. And I have come around.
Even
on that
in Ron
guy.
Burgundy?
Yeah, no, that's when he brought me around. Okay. It was Anchorman.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman is what brought me around to that guy.
That was a good movie. I
really did like Anchorman. And I'm a Will Ferrell fan. But that movie is where he wakes up one day and realizes he is a character in a novel being written by Emma Thompson. And it sounds like a Charlie Kaufman type script. The guy that did Adaptation and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And it's not, but it's very much like an... Seems very like something Charlie Kaufman would do. But the early reviews of that are that it's so fantastic. It's Stranger Than Fiction. The reviews of it is genius.
Good.
Then we have Happy Feet, which is another movie that they have to see Robin Williams in because he has to be in every movie.
That's are these CGI puffins?
That's what it looks like. And they don't mention it, but way down the bottom in small print is Steve Irwin.
Oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In loving memory of.
So what is this? This
that's
is
like
a,
the tiniest font on the page.
Yeah, it is. So this is CGI? This is like an Ice Age thing?
Yeah, it's penguins.
CGI penguins. Who is it? It's Elijah Wood. Well, you know why.
Elijah Wood.
Robin Williams.
He has to be in everything.
Well, you were the one who nailed that they ought to have one just called Not Another Robin Williams Film.
That'd be great. Nicole Kidman.
Brittany Murphy. Who, boy, you want to talk nine shades of hot. Brittany Murphy. Hugh Jackman. That's Wolverine, right? Nicole Kidman. Hugo Weaving. He'll play the anarchist penguin.
Yeah.
And then Steve Irwin. You're right.
See? It's almost hidden at the bottom of the page.
Anthony LaPaglia or whatever that guy's name is. But why aren't they marketing Steve Irwin's last film?
Mm-hmm.
Come enjoy the magic of Steve Irwin.
It's
one
for kids.
Final time.
And they don't want to depress people. It has some mild peril and rude humor.
And a dead guy. Crikey. But don't you think it's going to be more distracting if you're in the movie and you don't know Steve Irwin's in it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're there sitting there, oh, mommy, look at the happy penguins. And hello, crikey. Hello. And then suddenly, the dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. And can we please have a moratorium on CGI films with wacky talking animals? I mean,
people like them,
but they don't. But that's the thing is, they don't. I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that people like, like A Bug's Life and Ice Age and so. But then, for every Ice Age, you got to sit through like 10 of these things, which is just terrible.
Featuring the music of Prince and Pink. Pink's name is spelled wrong. Doesn't the I in Pink usually an exclamation mark?
It does indeed.
It's very childish when they do that.
All right. What else is coming? We're going through the New York Times movie preview section.
Unaccompanied Minors.
This is like
Silent Night.
Yeah, right. This is like a Home Alone thing, right?
Yep.
Silent Night. Who's in this? It's like some
bunch of kids.
A-hole teenagers that I don't care about.
Yeah.
All right. This is where you feel the generation gap, because you wonder if, like, teenage movies when we were growing up were just as terrible, but we think that they're great.
But it says that Louis Black and Wilmer Valderrama are in it, too.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's like
how come they're not here, though?
Yeah.
Now, is this the horrible movie that's got Ben Affleck in it? Isn't there some terrible Ben Affleck movie coming up?
I think that's coming up.
Hey, Scotty, I see the hotline ringing. If you can grab whoever that is. Thank you. Are you sure Ben Affleck's not in this? Because there's some Ben Affleck movie coming out that looks terrible.
Executive producer Ira Glass, isn't that the same guy that does the NPR show?
I believe so. But this Unaccompanied Minors is like a Home Alone in it. You know what it is? It's like that children's book, from the mixed up files of Thaddeus D. Higginbottom or whatever. It's where the kids are stuck in a museum.
If you can't share Christmas with the ones you love, share it with the ones you're stuck with.
I think that this is about a family who's stuck inside either an airport or a museum over Christmas.
Airport.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, so they're stuck in it. So it's a whole family or a bunch of kids. I think probably sans parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's Home Alone in an airport. That's the kind of shtick with this. That's the problem with every good holiday film, by the way, is then you've got like 10 terrible versions of it that come out in the following whatever. So Unaccompanied Minor, that looks awful.
I liked Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Was that where the homeless woman feeding the pigeon?
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet. That was. I gotta tell you that.
I will add the greatest scene. If you want to see what New York City looks like, that on location, they did such a good job.
You know why? Because that's John Hughes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That John Hughes remembers what it's like to be a kid. That's why all the Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, the 16 Candles. That's why all of those movies are so great, because he remembers what it was really like, and he quit making teenage films after. What was his last teen film? I don't remember what it was, but then he said he didn't understand teenagers anymore, and so he didn't want to try to pretend. So he went. That's when he made Home Alone, and he remembers what it's like to be a kid. The first Home Alone. Look, anybody who says they didn't find the first Home Alone funny is lying. That's a great and it's Joe Pesci, right?
Yes.
Isn't that him? And
yes.
Daniel Stern.
Mm-hmm.
The first Home Alone.
American cinema.
It is. It's a great slapstick fun film. The first Home Alone, and it's hard to see it now because it's such a cliche with Macaulay Culkin go screaming with his hands on his face, whatever. But that first Home Alone is a legitimately great classic slapstick film.
I watch the second one every Christmas. I think it is, because it is like a little kid's dream. He gets to stay in this really posh, New York hotel, and he has all this never-ending money and gets to go to the toy store. I think it's the cutest movie.
I only saw it once, so maybe I should see it
you
again.
You should see it
yes.
again.
Really? See it again for the first time.
And they have somebody. Tim Curry's in it.
Really?
Yeah, he plays
is
the concierge.
Is he the maitre d' or the concierge? All right. Is this Jim Roop? All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's walk, and then we'll continue with this. Let's take a moment here and speak with our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. What's up, brother man?
How are you, sir? Happy Friday. Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you to you.
Happy, happy, happy.
All right. Are you looking forward to your weekend? A long weekend of sitting and staring blankly ahead at a wall and drinking heavily.
That's right.
Fantastic. I talked to McCarthy today. McCarthy's so great. I'm not saying he drinks on the job, but I'm saying...
I'll say he does.
Okay, well, there you go. Or there are days when he just... I was going to say days when he just sounds, you know, a little exhausted and a little haggard and in a perfectly charming way.
Ed lives life.
Yeah, no, he sucks out the marrow from the bone of life.
Ed lives life, man.
It really is true.
One time I had the greatest time with him. We crossed paths at the Michael Jackson trial. I had to come down to cover the Grammys or the Emmys or something. And the Michael Jackson trial was going on, so Atlanta flew him out here to cover a couple of days of the trial while I came back to L.A. to cover the award show and then went back up. And I went up, even though I was tired, I said, I got to go up and party with Ed.
Yeah.
So I drove up there. I just sent him Maria from L.A. after being up all night at that award show just so I could spend a night with Ed. Well, that sounded strange.
No.
Before he had to go back to Atlanta. He's a great guy. I love hanging with Ed.
No, he's the coolest. I know we say this a lot, but we really are trying to find some. Is that Axl Rose? I'm sorry, I was distracted by a picture of Axl Rose.
He refused to play in Portland, Maine because he couldn't bring alcohol on stage.
Because there were no booze. I read that. There's no booze, yeah.
No booze. There is booze, but he can't bring it on stage.
Yeah.
No problem.
So he canceled they canceled the whole show. Well, he's Axl. He's got to cancel 1 and 3 or he loses his rep. That's the thing. Well, you know, Axl Rose is sort of the inverse Bruce Springsteen. You remember that Springsteen, you know, used to play for 5 hours. And Axl is sort of the opposite, where he's got to cancel, like, you know, half of the shows he does or he'll lose his cred. No, the thing we talk about, there's a lot about getting you and McCarthy and, you know, and Lisa Goddard and everybody just out here in Portland to get doing.
Hey, Lisa Goddard just got engaged.
What, really?
Yeah. That's what Laura was telling me today.
Really? Laura can't wait to talk about engagements and weddings.
Laura doesn't talk to me about engagements anymore.
Strange.
My heart is breaking.
Strangely enough. You want to hear the phone calls between Sarah and Laura now. They literally can be measured in nanoseconds. Calls up CNN. How does she know it's you when you call, Sarah?
I don't know. She always goes, hey there.
She says, hey, Portland. Or, you know.
No, she used to say, hey, Portland when she liked me. Now she just goes, hey there.
Hello, you. And Sarah will say, yeah, we need the Roop at 1:30. We need Ed McCarthy at 12:30. Lisa Goddard at 11:45. Okay, bye. You know, and then Laura's just gone. It's like she can't wait to get off the phone. So we have been spared her endless discussions of where she's registered and what kind of pattern she wants us to buy for her in her wedding china. So Lisa Goddard failed to share that with us, but that's okay. You know what? She delivers the news.
Maybe that's why she was giving the whole she felt like a jealous girlfriend comment, because she knew she had to let you down easy about the engagement.
I assumed you knew.
This is also awkward.
No, Jim.
No, we really have fallen into like some weird romantic comedy now, where like I'm Adam Sandler and I'm finding out on the radio that like my girlfriend is like marrying somebody else or something, and then it cuts to me running down the New York streets just in time to see her like pulling away in the wedding carriage as I'm like standing there going no, and then she's like pulling out and
like The Graduate.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And if it ends like The Graduate, you're in luck.
There you go. All I got to do is find a big pane of glass somewhere in the hill to go
hanging on it. Yeah.
Yeah, good times. In any event, hey, here's a story that comes out of L.A. about once every 4.5 hours. So the LAPD, are they videotaped beating a guy in the face?
Well, there's a lot more than that.
All right, so what's the deal?
They beat him all over. No.
Oh, not just that. They started at the face.
That's a face.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is another one of those instances where, you know, a little slice of a 5-minute video was put on YouTube or someplace else. The way it's been laid out by the LAPD, and there's both a local and a federal investigation into this, this William Cardenas is a known gang member. He's what they call one of the, what do they call him? Something 10.
A hooligan?
Yeah, a hooligan.
Ne'er-do-well?
Hang on, it's in my notes here.
Oh, is this the name of his gang?
No. It's just what they call one of the most violent criminals. A 10-percenter. He's what they call a 10-percenter. The most violent.
Oh, okay, all
right. He's got a pretty good rap sheet. He's, you know, 6'2", 215 pounds. These two cops approach him to arrest him on a warrant. He takes off. They chase him. They tackle him by tripping him. I guess one guy just kind of threw himself at his feet. They trip him, and in the ensuing battle, Cardenas hits one of the officers and then puts his hand on the holstered gun, and his partner says, watch your gun.
Oh, that's
it. The other one puts his knee on his neck and starts pounding him in the face to try and get his hands down. Now, yes, the video looks disturbing. Even the police chief admits that. And you hear the guy saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. While they're still trying to get this guy's arms down, to handcuff him. Now, I'm not making excuses for the LAPD, but it's getting to the point now where people don't get it. That police work is not pretty. Sometimes it's quite ugly. And a blow to the face is not... It's not lethal.
Well, no, and I mean, let's just, I mean, the thing is, you reach and you hit a cop. Look, I've said this repeatedly. Now, I have my share of problems with the police department, not just, you know, here specifically and in general. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, any number of laws that I don't think are right, and there's any number of cops out there that are sort of operating rogue or coloring outside the lines or whatever. That being said, every time I've ever been pulled over, and I've been arrested once, every time I've ever had any interaction with the cops, I don't care, guilty, innocent, anywhere in between. I am courteous and respectful and polite, and I don't screw with nobody. And so this is sort of the opposite of that. So not only is he, just sheer self-preservation, it would seem to tell you, that what you don't want to do is reach for the cop's gun.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get your face beaten repeatedly, and God bless him for doing it.
Well,
in
today's times, too, I mean, criminals be... It has nothing to do with the availability of guns either. It's just that people are bolder than they have ever been.
Yeah.
And so a cop is out there, and he forget the blue uniform, he's got a target on his ass.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so if you make any move or you resist a cop at all, he's afraid. Flat out, he's just scared that he's going to get hurt or killed. So he's going to get you first. And if you do anything to make a cop angry, or if you flinch, or you're disrespectful, or whatever it is, and these people who complain about cops, they're the first ones to call the cops when someone steals their car or mugs them or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. And again, it has nothing to do even right or wrong. The reality is reality. And the reality, as you said, is a cop at this point is not going to give anybody the chance to get anything off on him. Yeah, there's no way. Well, we had this case in Tigard, which is a sort of suburb of Portland, I don't know, about a month and a half ago or ago. Some guy, and I suspect it is our contention that it only really became a cause celebre because he was this blonde-haired, blue-eyed football varsity Letterman kid who was like 19, you know, kind of seemed like a golden boy. And so, of course, anytime somebody like that gets shot down by the cops, it's a much bigger story than if he's one of the guys who lives in Northeast Portland. And anyway, this is what the guy's walking down the street with a knife, smashing out car windows. The cops are called. They roll up, and the guy is standing. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's standing on the front porch, holding the knife, screaming about how he's going to kill somebody, and the cops hit him repeatedly with beanbags. They try all the non-lethal stuff to take him down. The kid turns to walk up into the house, and his last statement is, "I'm not going down without killing somebody." And at that point, the cops are like, "Well, okay, it's we skip to the bottom of the page," and it's like they just shot him all to hell. And it is, everybody was upset about it. And I'm like, you know what? If there's some guy walking up the front porch of my house with a knife, saying he's not going down without killing somebody, the cops better shoot his ass,
yeah,
and repeatedly.
Well, I will.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, we had toyed for about a day with this new procedure on the Rick Emerson Show, where we were going to start sending thank you cards and baskets of fruit to the cops, and it was going to be the Rick Emerson Thank You for Killing a Guy Who Obviously Needed Killing Award. And I felt that the CBS radio marketing department felt that that was perhaps not a shrewd thing for us to do. But we sort of do it in our hearts now. So, well, there you go.
And there is no doubt either that, like you say, you know, there are cops who do use, you know, the fact they're wearing a uniform and carrying a gun to their advantage.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. But when that adrenaline gets pumping, when you're chasing a suspect and this guy's, you know, 6'2", 215, you know, you're 5'7", 180 on a good day, you know, that's scary. And you bet you I'm gonna do what I can to take him out before he takes me out.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I got to tell you, let's just be honest about this. There are all kinds of people in this world in all crazy corners of the world, people who need beating. Let's just say it.
Yep.
So there you go. And on that note...
I condone it.
There you go. And see, there's something we can all agree on.
That's right.
On that note, Jim Roop, God bless you, sir. You have a great weekend.
Oh, by the way...
Yes.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are supposed to get married on the 18th.
The 18th of November?
A week from tomorrow, yeah.
And is this...
Italy.
In Italy.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I found out yesterday.
We'll see. But you know what? This might end up being one of those nutcase weddings like Mick Jagger had or Anna Nicole Smith, where it's like some guy jumping up on one foot with like a bone in his nose, and it's not legal.
Well, they were... were decorating the Scientology Center here in L.A. a few weeks ago. I don't know what that was all about, but I thought that was going to be the wedding.
I ask you this about that Scientology Center. Yeah. I don't really know, but, I mean, having a look at the Scientology, is their logo a big cross?
No, I've never seen a cross. It's the logo's, man, I can't describe the logo.
It looked like a cross with a bunch of spiky things on it that, like, you'd hit somebody with.
Well, yeah, that might be it, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So that sums it all up.
There you go.
All right, brother, man. And have a great weekend, Jim.
I might.
There you go. See your correspondent, Jim Roop, in Los Angeles. All right. Okay. Okay. And so forth. Well, do you want to just be all crazy and break now?
And why would that be crazy? We haven't taken the 20.
What? Yeah, of course we did.
Yeah.
Did we not?
We did not.
Hello. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. I was all proud of myself. I'm like, hey, we're going to break early. No. That time has passed. Come back. We will continue to go through the New York Times, find out what terrible movie Drek has come into a house near you. Later on, Scott Daly. We still got to do this Wake Up with Whoopi thing. And I got to give away these second row Corman Conway seats, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson radio program. Listen to this.
Time for cookie break.
It's the sweet sound of cookies.
What if we've been fighting for these cookies and they aren't even good?
And they're ass.
What are they made out of?
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
Here's the thing. These are the cookies that we tried to get the other day and they wouldn't let us have any. Now, where were they when you tried to get? Was it like in a conference room? Was it in a common area?
They were in front of Mark Whalen's office.
All right. And what, did you just, like, reach for one, and then you were, like, somebody...
Slapped.
Totally. Can I get a... No!
Tim and I were verbally slapped by
really?
Someone.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's see, where are these from? These are Cookies by Design, the original cookie bouquet company. All right, in Beaverton. All right, I wonder if they're any good.
Let's try them.
All right, hold on. They don't want to be open.
Yeah, this is a very difficult package.
This... What kind of cookie package is this? Do you have scissors?
Yeah.
Well, they're anti-terrorist cookies.
All right. All right, the screen printing is pretty great. It says CBS Radio in big letters. All right.
Okay.
All right. Then everybody knows it. See, the cookies are my weakness. They really are. They're my...
I've had screen printing cookies before. I don't know if it's from the same company, but they were so good.
Yeah, they're my... Cookies are my Achilles heel. All right.
All right.
Hold on. I feel like they don't eat during the show.
Yeah, it's good.
That's okay.
I wish I had some milk.
A little undercooked.
It could have been a rush order.
Yeah, I give this cookie like a 4 out of 10.
A 4?
A 4.
Wow, you're
I've had some great cookies. I am a cookie snob. I really am.
What do you think Katie Couric would rate that?
I don't know. I think Katie Couric probably has enough money at this point that she actually has hired a squad of small elves who just do nothing but live underneath her desk and bake cookies for her constantly. All right. That's just a theory, though.
Let's go to Ministry of Truth, Gerard.
All right, let's do that.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the president spent the day today dedicating the nation's most modern military museum in Virginia. This is the National Museum of the Marine Corps. He compared Iraq to the storming of Iwo Jima in World War II.
Is this Bank A?
I know it's Bank B.
Bank B. Ah, okay.
I think you might have to re... There are only supposed to be three cuts there,
well,
so
let's reload and find out with the hole in the... Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So here, the president compared Iraq to the storming of Iwo Jima in World War II.
When America looks out on a democratic Middle East growing in freedom and prosperity, Americans will speak of the battles like Fallujah, with the same awe and reverence that we now give to Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima.
Vladimir, he has no idea what he's...
No, he doesn't.
Where any of these places
no.
are.
I am reading
them up in the book.
I am reading phonetically off a page in front of me in foot-high letters.
These are places visited by the little red goat.
Okay. Genius.
Well, you people in Washington State, that's our suburb to the north, please stay away from the water. It's very dangerous right now. The Pineapple Express is still dropping pineapples throughout Washington State. Jody Woodcock of Pierce County Emergency Management says, stay away from the rivers.
Who?
Jody Woodcock.
The ground is soft and unstable in areas, and we've got a lot of work going on levees on our rivers. And so there are a lot of trucks, a lot of heavy equipment, and it can really be dangerous for onlookers who are in the area.
Cat.
Miss Woodcock urges residents to stay away from nearby rivers.
The ground is soft and unstable in areas, and we've got a lot of work going on.
Oh, that's exactly the same soundbite. Sorry.
Cack.
No.
The ground is soft, and we could see some trees go down. So it's just an awareness for the citizens to be extra cautious when they're
out really perky.
And over the weekend.
You know,
she's being cautious.
I was going to say, I am fascinated by people like this, where they're talking about, you know, an event that has already killed several people, and she just talks about it real happily as though she's a den mother, and she's talking about an exciting lanyard weaving project that the troop is going to be engaged in on Saturday, and there's going to be cookies and pie.
Meanwhile, the former operator of the Hickory Dickory Tots Daycare Center
Does this end with molestation?
No, it's a happy ending.
Oh.
Good.
This is the
happy ending.
The Hickory Dickory Tots Daycare Center cleared of child abuse charges.
Oh.
Patricia Tauber was arrested in August after employees told police she abused a toddler. Well, Tauber says she was trying to calm this 3-year-old girl, and she inadvertently scratched the young child.
So it did? Okay. All right.
That happens.
A happy ending.
It is. So let's get back to this movie stuff, shall we?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to the New York Times, and it's looking at the direct that's going to be clogging the film houses.
I have to have a copy of this movie poster because it's so good.
This The Good German.
The Good German, George Clooney, some post-World War II action thriller, apparently.
Cate Blanchett, Tommy McGuire. Now, is this his future? George Clooney's going to make nothing but sepia-toned the portraits of yesteryear?
Perhaps so. And have some real cruel-looking Germans here that, I mean, we'll put you in a concentration camp if you blinked at
that. That is a full-on Colonel Klink-looking guy right there. Mm-hmm. Sarah, do you know who Colonel Klink is?
Nope.
You know what we didn't do this week, among other things? We only have an hour left in the week, which is amazing. This has been such a crazy week. Just in a blink of an eye, but I feel exhausted from the whole thing. This is, you know what it is? You know what this week has been like? Here's what I suspect. This week feels like what I suspect it would feel like if you were drunk and passed out, and while you were passed out, a bunch of guys just took lead pipes and beat you repeatedly. And then you woke up and you're like, what? And then you don't know what happened, but you just feel all sore. That's what this week is like. We were going to do the Sarah X Dillon reverse catchphrase contest. We said, find out exactly where your pop culture lies. What television program, Sarah, is this phrase from? I know nothing! Yeah, see? Nothing. So there you go. We got to do one of these days.
And then we have We Are Marshall, which shows a picture of a young fellow holding a football in a small mill town. We've heard this story a million times before. Apparently he's trying to escape from this. Who's in this? Matthew Fox? Matthew McConaughey, well, two Matthews, and a David Strathern.
David Strathern, who played Edward R. Murrow in Good Night and Good Luck. Now, is this Matthew McConaughey in the photo?
It looks like him.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
And he's about 40, playing a teenager.
I was just going to say, at what point can Matthew McConaughey no longer play a troubled high schooler?
Nobody sees his films anyway.
He has to be the coach, right?
Is it him that has the huge package?
Of what?
Cookies.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. Have you seen that photo where Matthew McConaughey is walking around town and he's got the huge package?
That was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Of cookies. Maybe we're thinking of two different photos of cookies. I swear to God, somebody sent me a photo the other day of Matthew McConaughey.
He's just so unattractive to me.
McConaughey?
I have no interest in him.
What?
Well, he's built, but he has all capped teeth.
But he's all pretty.
Greasy.
That's it. No, that's,
no, he was. He's during Dazed and Confused.
He's not greasy. He can
you
play
don't,
greasy.
No, you don't read the celebrity blogs like I do. You don't see the pictures of him running around on the beach or, like, drunk at parties.
Sorry. Really? Is that true?
He runs around with a headband. Who, rumor mill goes, because he's just caught some plugs and trying to hide them.
You have to wear a headband for that, baby. It's all about the hat. I hope he didn't get plugs. Those things are bad.
He did. That's why he doesn't take off the bandana on his head. Allegedly.
Oh, you don't want to do that. That's the wrong way to go. See, that is not to be, you know, it's not a commercial to do it right now. I'm just saying that's the thing about medical hair restrictions. You don't want the plugs. Because the plugs, man, they got to take out like...
Okay, that's gross.
No, but you got to know. This is what I'm... Well, you don't have to know. People, though. That's like the 4-inch... That's where you get like the doll's hair. You don't want that. So his natural state is great. You know what Matthew McConaughey does look like, though? He seems like a guy, like a Woody Harrelson type, where his natural state is some seedy, unwashed hippiness. I can see that. I could see Matthew McConaughey sitting around the house, smoking a lot of pot and never bathing. That's what I could see.
I can see that.
So anyway, what is this? A movie about a scrappy young kid from a mining town who becomes a football star.
I've heard it all before.
Yeah, wasn't this out last month with Mark Wahlberg?
But it's out like every other month with the different
This story. Is weird, though. All of them are in their at least mid-30s.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. They can't be a high school student movie.
Let me guess.
Maybe they're... community college students.
Is this another one based on true events?
Yep, a true story.
Yeah, there you go. It's never a true story.
Then there's a Good Year with Russell Crowe, which looks like a Yellow Pages ad for free consultation with the tooth whitening.
Totally. Oh, that's exactly what it is. You're right. And you can tell it's a chick flick because the colors in the ad are red, flesh tone, you know, like a pink, and then auburn hair, and then green backgrounds, like a lush green. God, you know what Laura recorded the other day? She does this, and this will be a special interest to Sarah Dillon. Laura does this thing once a month where she'll go through the TiVo listings, because the TiVo will do the on-screen TV guide, and you can just view everything that's coming up alphabetically, A through Z, or A through Z, as our neighbors said. And she'll just go through, and she'll spend like about 25 minutes going through everything that's coming up, and she'll pick out like whatever, the 30 things that she wants to watch in the next month, and they'll tape. Guess what she taped the other day? Sarah Dillon?
I do not know.
Finish this sentence. If you don't say you love me right now, I'm going to scream.
Oh.
It's that... What is that horrible film?
I can't remember.
Remember we had that trailer for that god-awful movie? We could tell it was a... And it was like some, like, I've got cancer and I need to love before I die. And it was some terrible, terrible... And who was the woman? It was like Sarah Polley or somebody? And it had that terrible line that, if you don't kiss me right now, I'm going to scream. And then she just screams. Whatever they have... And it was like, I caught Laura watching that the other day. She's setting it to tape. All right. What else is opening?
Aragon,
which is... Now, I'm confused about this, because this is a fantasy book series. It's sort of one of those things...
Somebody wearing a bird suit without the head.
It's one of those things trying to make money on Harry Potter without being Harry Potter. And it's a dragon-based fantasy series, which I don't read, because I'm not really into fantasy books, but it's... I think the selling point of this series is that it's written by, like, a 17-year-old kid. I think that's the thing, is that he's some 17-year-old novelist.
All right. Next, something from Sean Levy and Christopher Columbus. What would the demographic be on a motion picture starring Dick Van Dyke, Mickey Rooney, and yes, Robin Williams?
Okay, I'll tell you what this is. This
is the museum.
I think this is the other one I'm thinking of. I think this is the other where they're trapped in a place overnight and then magical things happen. And you can tell because
it begins December 22nd.
And it's a Christmas movie. What is it rated?
It is rated PG.
PG and Chris Columbus, who produced Home Alone. I will guarantee, and it's got Robin Williams. Is Robin Williams in every movie that comes out everywhere now?
It has to be. Well, except for the ones that were filmed when he was in rehab. Nothing that was shot during a 30-day period. Well, they might have filmed on location.
I think there's some Robin Williams assembly line somewhere where, you know, he just stands in front of a green screen and does, and here I am telling 1,000 jokes a minute. You think I'm funny, but I'm not. It's just the same shtick I always do.
By Robin Williams, be real here.
By his cast-offs. I'm sorry for snorting. All right. What else is opening?
The History Boys, which I guess was some big Broadway play. It's going to be some English something, which is usually Bridget.
It's this year's Full Monty. Mm-hmm. Boy, man, the Full Monty is the best and worst thing ever to happen to theaters, because now every year we get a new Full Monty. Like the year after Full Monty, it was Billy Elliot. And then the year after that, it was, God, what was it the year after that? The year after that wasn't about some old crones taking off, like shaking it for a calendar somewhere. Boy, you know, can I just tell you this? Yeah. I'm really tired of that. Can we please have a moratorium on stories about nude calendars raising money for communities, and the only interesting thing about the story is that it's old people showing their skin?
They're going to have to bulldoze all these abandoned factories. Because that's what all this stuff is based on.
These are all...
Turn them into mini-malls or something, but as long as we have to look at old abandoned brick factories, there are always going to be people writing movies about them.
Old welding towns. It's like, just the other day I saw it. And here's the thing about it is, here's two things that are sort of tied together in my head. One is, have you ever noticed this? That when you're watching a movie, somebody on the screen, a character, will tell a joke to another character, and it's a joke that we know and that everyone knows on Earth, and the only people who don't know the joke are the people in the film. Do you know what I mean? It's like this. I was watching you'll hear, like, it's when they tell a proverb. I swear to God, I was watching a movie the other day, and a guy on the screen starts going, Well, this is very much like the story of the grasshopper and the ant. Do you know the story of the grasshopper and the ant in wintertime? And
no.
The other character goes, no, I've never heard that. What is it? And then I have to sit for like 5 minutes while this other guy is telling the story about the goddamn grasshopper, which everybody knows. You come out of the uterus knowing, or whatever it is you come out of, the womb knowing that. And then everybody knows it. Everybody except for the people in the theater. Also this, but that's like with these hideous stories that come out every year about old people who are showing their bosoms for a calendar to raise money to save the old abandoned fire station. Mm-hmm. The journalists always act like it's the first. You will never believe this. And this is how they always do it, too. They tease it this way. They go, coming up at 11, it's a nude calendar with a bit of a twist. You won't believe who's posing nude in Punxsutawney, Florida, you know, or where, Philadelphia, where the hell that is. And it's always the same. It's old people. It's always old people. It's always going to be old people. Put this in the same pile where that stupid story about the guys in Wisconsin who jump into the cold water. Yes, we know. It's wintertime and it's really cold. And a guy jumps in the water, but it's crazy because it's wintertime. Whoa! Just stop it. Just stop it for like one generation. And then you'll get a whole generation of kids who think it's interesting again. For the love of sweet Christ.
Then we have Chris Christopherson and Wilmer Bandolero together for the first time in Fast Food Nation.
Chris Christopherson?
Yes, Chris. That's another guy who thought he was... But he's been dead for years. He's been alive, dead, alive.
You know, Chris Christopherson is one of those guys who only functions really well playing a hillbilly or a villain. Mm-hmm. And Fast Food Nation...
It's not the same as the book.
I don't understand how they're doing this. I mean, I know that it's fictionalized.
Comedy.
But, I mean, yeah, does anybody...
I don't understand because it's just a documentary. The book is about fast food, like where it comes from, where the place is. I don't know.
Great book. We all read it.
Mm-hmm.
We've all read Fast Food Nation here. We all loved it. I don't understand how they made a movie of Fast Food Nation. I'm not saying it's not possible. The whole thing just confuses me. All right. We're talking about upcoming films. What else is coming?
We have Judy Kate and Dench Blanchett starring in One Woman's Mistake is Another's Opportunity on Nights in a Scandal.
Is what's her name?
It opens Christmas.
Judy Dench, isn't she like a sir, a madam or a knight or something?
She's an old lady.
Dame?
Yeah.
Is that an honorary title or
is that like
Sir Elton John?
You're right.
But what does dame mean? Is it just like, you know?
It's a point of politeness.
All right.
Apparently, I bet this is a war movie or a post-war movie. Home of the Brave, somebody carrying their service bag home.
Who's the cast?
Samuel L. Jackson, Jessica Biel, Brian Presley, and Curtis Jackson.
I wonder if this is some sort of a... I bet I know this is sort of a...
The final test of courage is coming home.
That's totally what it is.
Look at the deer hunter.
He fought for his country. But will his country fight for him?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's... I just made that
he's
up.
Coming
that's
home
not
to
the
Brooklyn.
Real tagline, but I'll guarantee you that's... Yeah. All right.
Then, December 22nd, we bring back Rocky Balboa.
Now tell me that you look at that ad. Tell me you don't want to see that.
All right, I'll see.
This full-page, black and white, yeah. And have you seen the poster? The poster is very much like this, but it's sort of a bigger, high-resolution photo of this, of Rocky Balboa, and it is him on the steps at Philadelphia doing the famous pose.
And it's music by Bill Conti.
Yeah, that's Bill Conti, who did the Let's All Do It Together Now. I will tell you, and as I told Sarah the other day, I'll be there, and Nate will be right next to me.
Written and
Nate will be right beside me, and you know it's true.
He geeked out when he saw the movie poster.
Have you seen the trailer for Rocky Balboa?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's fantastic. It's amazing. Look, you can eat it. It looks genius. I'm getting chills now just thinking about it. You don't understand, man. You don't know.
I've seen the trailer.
All right. Let's do a couple more
here.
And
the movie we saw the other night, we talked a lot about it, Bobby.
Bobby, which will
November
be forgotten in a year.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
It was okay. Not to be impolite to our guests.
But no, we'll never forget
not here.
No, he's better than the movie. Let's do this last page here, and then we'll take a break.
No!
Charlotte's Web, we
this
know what that's
just
about.
So I can crush Sarah. Sarah?
Are you just re-releasing it?
No, Sarah. See, here's the thing. Here's what you got to know, Sarah.
It doesn't say who's starring.
Oh, yes. No.
That movie's
I know all
cry.
About it. Here's the thing about Charlotte's Web. Sarah, here's something you need to know. See, with the release of Phantom of the Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars Episode 3, the raping of my childhood, Sarah, is over. The raping of your childhood is just beginning.
Rated G. New one?
It's Rated a CGI, Charlotte.
No!
Wait for it.
With Julia Roberts, Dakota Fanning, Steve Buscemi, John Cleese, Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey. Bam!
Does she...
Cedric the Entertainer, Kathy Bates, Reba McEntire.
Yeah!
Leopard,
is Oprah Charlotte?
Church. I bet that Oprah is a sage voice of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I bet she has to be. I bet that Oprah is a sage voice of wisdom who understands the mysterious relationship between man and the earth.
I still remember the music from that movie. Like, hearing the music would always make me sad.
That's some pig. You know the saddest part of Charlotte's Web?
And the rat in the circus. I'm just remembering it. I haven't seen it in so long.
No, Charlotte's Web is beautiful. E.B. White, it's a beautiful thing. And anybody doesn't like that, you can lump it. The saddest part of Charlotte's Web is at the end when all of the children have left and Wilbur thinks he's alone. And he's going, Charlotte, and he thinks he's sad. And then there's like the two spiders that stay behind.
And then he cries and most of the rest of them start crawling out.
I know. I know. Charlotte's Web is a tearjerker. And then they're going to ruin it for you by making it CGI with John Cleese.
I will never see it.
Welcome to my world. Booyah.
For your consideration... what does this have in it? Parker's Posies, Harry Shearer, and Fred Willard.
Pat has a correction. Pat, hello.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
The film about the Marshall football team is not an ordinary film. It tells the story of...
a man who rises up against the odds?
No.
Oh.
The football team was coming back from a game at East Carolina. They were flying back in an airplane. They crashed.
Uh-huh. They had to eat each other?
No, but they had 75 people die. And the film presents that, but what was weird was the team was getting ready yesterday to fly to East Carolina for a football game, and they had smoke coming out of one of the engines, so they grounded the plane.
Oh. That team should not fly.
Seriously, take a bus.
It sounds like happy holiday fare for
scary.
The
fans.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, there you go. Hey, Sarah, we got an answer to your question. Now, let me ask you this. Tim, can you hand me the Charlotte's Web page for a second there?
I certainly can.
Charlotte's Web page.
I'm getting the Charlotte's Web and the Harry Potter's music.
Charlotte's Web page.
Okay, that's not fine. I'm getting Harry Potter music and Charlotte's Web mixed up in my head. How does Charlotte's Web go? The theme song to it.
Charlotte's Web.
Okay.
Charlotte's Web page. I don't know. I can't sing it to you, but listen to this now, Sarah, and then we'll answer this. Charlotte's Web, a terrible CGI version. Don't look it up.
Not.
Okay. Julia Roberts, Dakota Fanning, Steve Buscemi, John Cleese, Oprah Winfrey, Cedric the Entertainer, Kathy Bates, Reba McEntire, Robert Redford, Thomas Hayden Church, Andre Benjamin, Andre 3000. Okay. Who do you
think is going to be the rat?
Who do you think plays Charlotte?
Maybe Julia Roberts. She has kind of like the sweet, soothing Charlotte voice.
Let's find out. Brandon, you're all the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up?
Charlotte is actually Julia Roberts.
Okay, there you go. Who is Oprah?
Is Oprah the wife?
Oprah's the sage voice of wisdom who understands the sacred relationship between man and nature.
Then. Yeah, I wish I knew that one.
That
movie looks horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who the rat is? Is it Andre 3000?
I think it's going to be Buscemi.
I can see
that.
I'm still never going to see it, though. I will never see it.
America
ever.
Will love it.
America will love
Apple
it.
The website on QuickTime trailers, it'll be on there.
Oh, and here's how you know it's going to be good, and by good I mean awful, from Nickelodeon Movies. So there you go. Yeah. What do you want? I hope there's a sequence where all of the animals are dancing to a hip-hop song.
Oh, my God. Is this what it's like to be you?
Yeah.
Is this what's happening?
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Why do they have to remake it? The first one is still so good.
Raping all your childhood. Raping all your childhood. All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why do they have to remake it?
You know what they're going to do?
The original's so great.
They're going to make a gem movie, and it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's going to lack all the kitsch that it had back when I was younger.
Yeah, gem. And it'll star some chick from like one of those after-school shows on Nickelodeon.
It'll star JoJo, that 14-year-old singer.
It'll star some girl named Janisha. All right. There you go.
Then we have Deja Vu with Denzel Washington and Laura Caviezel's brother Jim.
I'm tired of Denzel Washington. He needs to go away for a while.
All right.
And finally, there's Tenacious D, there's Borat, and then on the next page I saw the one that I really want to, which is Apocalypto, which I heard, Don and Mike were talking about this, that they played the trailer, and that's that one...
I saw the trailer for it.
It's the new Mel Gibson where they all speak Esperanto or whatever, and he said that people booed and hissed and groaned when Mel Gibson's name came up.
Well, and that's how they sold it. That's the first thing you see, even before the title or anything. It
really?
Just says Mel Gibson's Apocalypto.
Isn't Peter O'Toole dead?
No, and people think he is, and he does look like it, but he's still around.
Well, I guess what's in the Lawrence Olivier was dead, and he was still in Sky Captain. All right. Peter O'Toole will be in Venus.
Venus.
All right, there you go.
A gem. Glorious. We'll make you laugh.
But more to the point, they're remaking Charlotte's Web with Reba McEntire.
There totally will be a dance sequence.
Yeah. I bet this, really, I hope there's a sequence where, like, there's a duck, like a duck voiced by John Leguizamo who's breakdancing.
I swear to God, if they cover, like, an Outkast song with Andre, like, Hey Ya, but it's, like, the pigs.
I don't think they'll do Hey Ya, but you know that he'll, you know, that there'll be some wacky self-referencing humor there. Like maybe they'll have this, Sarah. Maybe there'll be a musical sequence.
I don't want to talk
about it. And then a rat will be, like, scratching a turntable somehow. Ah! Oh, that'd be fantastic. Raping all your childhood. Should we break?
Yes.
Bam! Let's break. Back after this. Then they can move on. Then they can... Well, they already ruined Stuart Little. I mean, really. What are they... Just slide them all. Just burn them. Just burn all those books. Why should anything escape unscathed? I thank God that Harriet the Spy and Indian in the Cupboard made it through relatively intact. Come back with Scott Daly. We'll give away second row tickets to Harvey Korman and Tim Conway.
Special guest star.
Oh, with special guest star Louise Duart.
A band dancer from the golden age of vaudeville.
Yes. That's awesome. And we'll take a final visit to the Ministry of Truth later on. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.